Good morning, Lagos, and this again is Digital Live, your number one tech and innovation show on the radio. If you're tuning in for the very first time, Digital Life is a tech and innovation show that comes to you every Sunday at 11 o'clock on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We bring insightful conversations and also our tech of the week, you know, which is our way of promoting Nigerian innovators and their innovations as well. My name is Emmanuel Onwuka, but I don't always fly solo on the show. You know, I always have my co-pilot here with me, Yvonne Ohaifo, and she's going to be joining me pretty soon. We've been having a series of conversation. We started up a new series on the show, you know, talking about ideas. And this stemmed from our conversation with the senior special assistant to the president on digital transformation. Him talking about Gobadia, who talked about the Nigerian Startup Bill. And then we had this conversation about so many funds lying all around for innovators, you know, for startups, and then not enough startups, so to speak, you know, getting those funds. So we started back at ideas, and then we're talking about executing these ideas right now. And today on the show, we're just going to be doing all that. But before I get into all that, I want to say a very big shout out to all our callers, everyone who shares information with us, who shares their text messages, who shares their opinions on the show, all the techies, tech bros and tech sis. I really want to appreciate every one of you, those that send us messages from Ghana, Togo, Dubai, Canada, Bangladesh, you know, India. Your messages are appreciated. And you can actually drop your messages on our WhatsApp, you know, before even the show starts, any of your ideas, any of your suggestions on the show, because we had someone send us a message last week that really, really turned, you know, gave us a new perspective into doing things. So our WhatsApp number is 08095975805. And today's conversation, we'll just go right into it. Our conversation continues about executing your ideas, but today we're looking at the legal perspective to executing your idea. Your idea has to be patented, you know, for it to even be a unique idea. We've had a conversation about how ideas are generated, but right now your ideas need to be patented. And so many of you ask the question about how do I patent my ideas and what are those things that I have to look out for? Well, your answer is in today's show. Karen Chukwu is a tech lawyer and the founder of Catwick & Deal, and she'll be sharing her knowledge of the legal framework in patenting, pitching, and executing ideas. Karen, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Morning.
Okay, good morning. You have to adjust the mic so that you can actually speak into the mic very well. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm great.
Okay. You're feeling a little chilly this morning, I can see.
Oh my goodness, yes I am.
All right, that's perfectly fine. I think a very lot more persons are quite under the weather or so, but it doesn't stop us from having fun and having very insightful conversations this morning. So regardless of how Karen is feeling, Karen is also going to share very insightful knowledge with us today. First off, how important are our ideas? We've had that conversation over and over again when we talk about ideas, but I just want to know how important are these ideas, especially to you who manages these ideas and help patent these ideas?
Ideas are great. They're amazing, but I think that something that we all need to know is, when you come up with an idea, best believe that there are thousands of people around the world that have a similar idea, right? As much as you probably think you have this, oh yeah, Eureka, this amazing thing. I mean, I've heard you say patent this morning, but like, unless you actually make a move to protect your intellectual property, because I mean, ideas are intellectual properties that we own, and you can only lay claim to them when you actually protect your IP, right? And I mean, if you don't, then I mean, the next person that has the same idea is probably going to, you know, do amazing work with it once they obviously protect that idea.
So they are very important, that's just so to speak.
They're very important, yeah.
But only if they are unique.
When people come up with ideas, I mean, they're pretty unique, right? They become tangible. I'd use that word. They become very tangible and easily commercialized when you actually make a move to protect your IP. right? Because, I mean, I have an idea. You probably have a similar idea. She probably has a similar idea. So, I mean, who actually owns the right over that idea? Because, I mean, I can't stop you from thinking. Like, the human brain is very amazing. And so what I'm probably thinking in Abakeleke, someone else
is thinking.
In Ibadan is thinking about it.
Okay. So what's the first thing you do when, you know, when someone comes up to you and like, oh, I have an idea, Karen?
Oh, great. Amazing. I always say this thing. Congratulations. You've actually sat down your brainstorm.
Okay, I don't like that one.
No. Honestly, like I always say congratulations because like you've thought about this thing. That's amazing, right? But now the next step is how do we protect your idea? How do we ensure that this, you know, is yours and you obviously own the right over that and you control how it's used, how it's sourced, how it's shared, etc., right? Mm-hmm. But first of all, I would always say congratulations because it's not easy. Yes, I mean, people have similar ideas, but it's not easy to actually believe in your idea
enough
so
to
much
to
actually
work on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the first step to, you know, protecting your idea?
Now it depends, right? So you made mention of patent, and that's actually one type of intellectual property. So when you speak about IP rights, right, mm-hmm. there's a copyright, there's a trademark, there's patent, there's trade secrets, you know, geographical indications, mm-hmm. right, that are actually recognized by the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO. Now it depends on the kind of idea. So if you're an artist, a singer, a musician, then we're talking about copyrighting your music. If you're a poet, we're talking about copyrighting your poet.
Your poetry.
If you code, we're talking about copyrighting your code. You can
really?
Actually, yeah,
it's,
you can
it's
actually,
possible to
yes,
do that.
You can actually do that.
That comes into a software or something. That's when you can.
You can actually.
It.
You can no. You copyright it. Now, when we talk about patent, patents are for novel ideas, right? Mm. So, forgive me for probably using this example, but I use it a lot, and I'm sorry. But you know the drug Viagra, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the pharmaceutical company that came about Viagra had to patent it. So if another, you know, company wants to create a similar drug to treat the same thing or whatever, they would have to obviously, you know, get that license, that permission, that content from the patent holder to be able to, produce it.
Yeah.
So with patents, like your idea has to be novel. It has to be a novel invention. I mean, if you come up with like maybe like a flying car, and you're the first to do it, well, then you can actually go ahead to patent it.
Okay.
So if Toyota probably wants to do a similar thing, they probably want to arrive at the same, destination that you have in terms of getting to the final product, which is the flying car. They would need to go to the patent holder, which is why you see a lot of people that, you know, have novel ideas. They rush immediately to patent it. So I mean, like Theranos is actually something that's going on right now. Elizabeth Holmes, who has gotten 11 years, she obviously moved to patent, you know, some of the things she was doing because they were new, novel. Like, I mean, who actually gets like how many hundreds of diagnoses from, you know, like just a little pill of blood?
Even if the whole thing is a bit twisted.
That's a different thing entirely. But like, the point is she came up with a new way to actually, you know, decipher what's wrong with people.
Right.
When you go to the hospital, they're drawing so much blood from you, it's like, okay, suck my blood.
Drain it.
And so she came up with something that was, you know, pretty straightforward, you know, just a little prick, and they're able to tell, you know, the illnesses that you probably have, right? And so she definitely went to patent the steps because they're new, novel, right? And that's when you talk about patent.
So let's backtrack to you. We're talking about copyright, and you said something interesting, which is that coders can actually copyright their code.
Yes, you can.
Wow. What other thing can be copyrighted?
Especially in the tech space.
Especially in the tech space.
Artistic work.
But it's called artistic.
Yes, it is. You need to see some amazing things that people are coming up with.
Really?
I mean, like, I don't code, but like, there are people that come up with amazing things. They're coding, they're doing some crazy work, right? And if you really believe that, oh, this is something that you want to protect, right, then go ahead and copyright it. I mean, obviously, there's first in time and all of that apply, right? But there are additional steps that can be taken, right, to ensure that you protect this. And I mean, Emmanuel had mentioned, you know, the Startup Act, right?
Yeah, Nigeria Startup.
Exactly. Amazing. So, I mean, the act actually allows, or no, not allows, it recognizes the importance of intellectual property. Good.
Right.
Yes. Yes. It was phrased as it acknowledges the importance of it. Which is amazing, because when it comes to IP, I was just trying to explain, you know, the different rights. So now you have.
I'd love for you to expand on that. So the according to what you have just said, now there are different kinds of
intellectual property
protection. You've talked about copyright now. What other kinds are there?
So there's trademark, right? Let's use Nigeria Info as an example. You have your logo, you have the name, and when you were registered as CAC, it was probably Nigeria Info,
Info FM.
But now what you have out there is Nigeria Info. And I believe that that has been trademarked. That name has been trademarked. The logo has been trademarked. Like the slogan, Let's Talk, has probably been trademarked, right? And so trademark simply is what you want people to know your business as. You can actually register Okonkwo Nigeria Limited Enterprises, this, 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 and that. But you want a name that sticks. So you probably want to trademark Konkwo. Right? Because it's easy. And then you probably have this amazing logo that you think, yes, I've gotten it. People in Alaba Market will know me. Right? You actually have to make a move to trademark that. And priority is given to the first in time. Right? And so once you do that, you don't need to trade, you know, with the long name that's a CAC. You trade with what you actually have trademarked. Right? And you know how trademark works is there are different classifications. And so you can actually have a Konkwo trademarked under maybe class 31 and 32,
right,
and probably have a Konkwo registered under maybe 2 and 3, right? Because now these are different classes. There is no clash. So if I trademark Konkwo under business and maybe educational materials.
Karen, please hold on to that thought. Is your phone close to the microphone?
No.
There seems to be some sort of
interference. Okay. Well, we can go on.
And so, like, if someone else is probably playing the pharmaceutical space, they can actually go ahead and actually trademark Konkwo, because there's no clash. One is educational materials, the other one is pharmaceutical.
Okay.
But the important thing there is you have actually said Konkwo is my name. That logo is what I want people to remember me as. That slogan, Alaba Market is my own, is probably what you want people to refer to remember you with.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where trademark comes into play. And then I already spoke about patents. You have trade secrets as well.
Trade secrets?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, trade secrets. I mean, you probably look at agreements and you probably see a clause, you know, talking about, you know, confidentiality and all of that. Now, there's certain things that, there's certain information that, you know, you hold dear. And if it gets out there, it can either do a lot of good for you or damage or, you know, strip you of some benefits. And you want to protect that. Now, there's actually trade secrets, you know, cover all of that. And, you know, these are the ones that are very, that are peculiar to, you know, the tech space. Because, I mean, I speak about copyrights for artistic work and, you know, like techies are very artistic. Now, for the founders that are building on a product, et cetera, you're looking at, you know, trademark. Now, depending on the kind of product you're building, if it's new, no one has done it before, then you're looking at patenting the steps. Right, to get to that product, you probably had to do this to get this, to do that, to get that.
So everything has to be patented.
No. When you patent, right, you are showing the registry how you've gone from point A to B to C to D. So there are diagrams that are shown there. You have to, you know, do the entire labeling of each part of the product or whatever it is that you've built, right? Because they want to understand and they actually want to see that that's new. So if you've done something and they see that, okay, some Amaka somewhere has, you know, done something similar. It's not novel. It has to be novel. Right? And sometimes you can actually build on, you know, other people's steps as well, and the end goal is something novel, right?
Yeah.
That works definitely. So depending on which works, and then again, the trade secret bits of things, you know, so many people are coming up with ideas, some similar, some definitely new, and with the way, you know, the tech space works, you know, you find people porting from company A to company B in like less than how many months. People can move away with your information and utilize it, and you know, how do you protect that? Like, how do you prevent things from getting out there, you know, such that your in-house team is left porous or someone has left with something?
Yeah.
So these are the things to consider.
Right. So let's talk about non-disclosure agreements. You know, now that you've mentioned companies, now that you've mentioned having employees leave from one place to another, let's talk about that non-disclosure agreement. Where does it come in, you know, when it comes to ideas? First of all, before we go into majorly into the companies, you know, pitching ideas, especially, you know, where do we have to say a non-disclosure agreement? Because we had a conversation last week here and we talked about, you know, meeting someone at a bar, someone that's very rich, let's say Dangote, and you have like 2 minutes to pitch to him. You can't say, oh God, 2 minutes, please sign this non-disclosure agreement, you know, before I say anything to you. So how does that work?
So non-disclosure agreements, first of all, let me just explain what they do. They pretty much ensure that the person who's signing is not going to disclose any information, you know, to the detriment of the owner of that information. So disclosing party, receiving party, let's use that term. Yes, you said if you meet Dangote, you probably want a pitch and all of that, right?
Exactly.
And I get it. People get excited with that. But something that I've also seen happen is people have access to resources. And by resources, I'm not just saying money, but also talent. And how are you certain that this person, you know, once they get sold on your idea, how are you certain they don't go ahead to, you know, start building?
Right.
And so, I mean, I have clients and they come to me, even in the creative space as well, because, you know, these guys have to deliver ASAP. Like, it's very quick. They want you, okay, do this or do that. And I say to them, okay, I'm glad that you're doing this. I'm not trying to, you know, stop your bread. But like, have you gotten these guys to agree to certain terms? Right? How are you protecting this thing you're going to share with them? Like, let's be very real. Like, in a world where when you have access to resources and there are no limitations, right? People are either, I mean, I don't want to keep mentioning Dangote, but like, I mean, if I pitched to a wealthy billionaire, right? And this wealthy billionaire was like, oh, wow, Karen really, you know, just came up with a really amazing idea. We can actually build on this. So, well, let me call so-and-so to lead this team that's going to do this. Now, this wealthy billionaire is not going to do it herself, but she probably has access to resources.
That's right.
Exactly, right? And how do you protect yourself?
Like, that's how, so that you are not kicked out of your own thing.
Yeah, and like I said, like, an idea is amazing. If you do not go ahead to protect it, you are just like every other person in the world that has amazing ideas. The guys that made the first plane probably weren't the first to think about it. I mean, there is the Edison issue. Like, people saying he wasn't the first to make it, but he was the first to go ahead.
Act on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, these are things that you consider. And even executing an NDA doesn't mean that that party wouldn't go ahead to disclose. But it gives you the right to be able to follow it up. You know, sue for damages. You know, I don't know, get a pound of flesh maybe?
I like that.
So there's desperation. You know, you've come up with an idea before. You know how exciting it is. To you, first of all, you're so excited. You're so excited that you've struck a chord. You've thought about something that nobody else is thinking about. You know, there's that excitement. You meet somebody and you see this person as someone that's potential, someone that can, you know, actually sponsor this, you know, help you execute this deal. And you're telling him everything. And you're not even thinking about trade secrets at that time. You're just trying to convince that person
to invest in you.
So there was something that I came across on Twitter, right? It hasn't been this summer, maybe like a year back or something. I'm not very certain, but I know I came across it on Twitter, and it hasn't been either proven or disproven. But you know, someone came out and said they had pitched to you know potential investors, right? And somebody on the team actually took that idea and built on it.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, but like, the reason why I said it hasn't been proven or disproven is because, I mean, I don't think anyone has, you know, gone to court or tried to, you know, settle it using any form of ADR. But like, I'm not going to wait until, you know, someone else comes and says, oh, this actually happened and went to court. I would rather not even do that, right? And so because I know that these things are possibilities, I always say to people, what does it you know, cost to actually, you know, get people to sign an NDA? Honestly, if I was an investor and someone, you know, said to me, oh, would you like to sign this? I'll tell you what would come to my mind first. I'll be like, oh, this one is so stressful. But when I actually go back and think about it, I'll actually say to myself, well, this
is brilliant.
This guy knows what he wants.
This young lady knows what she's doing.
Right.
And okay. this is someone that has her head screwed on right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's give it a try. Because mm-hmm. now you're seeing this person taking extra steps to ensure that they're protecting this thing. Like, they're not just talking to Tom, Dick, and Harry, which is actually what I see concentrated in this space. Like, people are talking about stuff. It's amazing, but come on. Where do we draw the line?
Mm. Karen, you mentioned cost. You said how much does it really cost to, you know, to get someone to sign an NDA, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the cost of patenting, copywriting, and all of those things. Do you have an idea?
Now.
Maybe she has an idea in dollars. You don't have it in Naira.
It's a dollar idea.
A dollar idea.
Possibly. But like, I mean, I wouldn't be able to give like exact figures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some of these processes, I mean, for a patent, it can take quite some time. The trademark as well can take quite some time. And so...
How much time are we looking at?
I don't want to say some kind of things on air. I'm being very honest, okay?
All right. So,
it can take, because I mean, there's some publications that need to be made in the Gazette, for example, the trademark Gazette. There is that, you know, there's the search that has to happen and all of that. There's
so
a whole
can
lot.
You can you in months or weeks give just a okay.
All right. So fine. Now you said something about research, especially when it's code. You know, is there like a database where you can search and say, oh, is has someone come up with this idea before now? How does that work? Because I give you a code, for instance, I code and you don't code, and I give you the code and I say, oh, I want to patent this or copyright this or whatever it is. I want to make sure that I protect my intellectual property. How do you ensure that's intellectual property? Someone else somewhere in the world is not doing that or doesn't have such code.
So IP rights are regional, right? Except for there are certain IP rights that you can actually register across the WIPO member states, right? So when you register in one country, it applies. That is really, really expensive. So let's not get into it. Mm. If you wanted to protect...
Oh, it's different from the one you have that covers Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah. Because, wow. I mean, WIPO is WIPO,
okay.
Right? And there are certain member states that have, you know, domesticated the treaty. So when you register something in a particular country, it, you know, covers in the member states that have domesticated that
treaty. Is Nigeria one of them? No, you tell us. Nigeria is one of them. So if you patent something here in Nigeria, it covers how many countries?
No. If you actually go through WIPO,
it has to be worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. But when you do, you know, the local one in Nigeria, the regional one, let's use that, not local. I don't know. I don't like to use that.
Thank you very
regional
much.
One.
Thank you very much.
So when you do that, like, it covers you here in Nigeria. So if you go ahead to probably trademark, it's not going to protect you in Ghana. You better go to Ghana and do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you spoke about, I think, cost, right?
Yes.
Now, it depends because it depends on, you know, how tedious it can be. You find that certain applications, some lawyers have to do a whole lot of work. There's a whole lot of back and forth. You definitely need to, you know, get some form of assistance as well from people who have either... maybe have relationships within the registries or whatever, but it depends. And then if you're trying to, I mean, imagine someone trying to register like a trademark under like several classes. There are several number of searches that would have to be done.
Exactly.
Right? There's all of that as well that has to go into play. And so I cannot speak to the cost, but definitely like... again, I always say, please don't do the whole penny-wise, pound-foolish thing, because if you're trying to cut costs now and you eventually get into a problem tomorrow, it might cost you more. Exactly. Mm. And then you're saying to yourself, I wish I had done this thing earlier.
But
it's too late to cry about over, you know, spilled milk. Mm-hmm. So.
Before we go to the phone lines, I just want to ask you this. Have you ever had a situation, you know, a legal battle or something, you know, whereby someone comes and say, oh, I pitched to this person and then this person has actually gone ahead to execute it and didn't carry me along? Have you ever had something like that?
There was one that happened.
Okay.
A co-founder, you know, left the company to go start
his own.
Mm. A competent, that's one. The other one was from a young guy who had gone on to, you know, build his own thing, and his previous employers were actually threatening him, saying that, you know, he was doing something, you know, similar to what we're doing. And so from two ends, one is a co-founder, the other one is an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mean, these things happen, and these guys get worried, because again, when you know someone has access to resources, especially for the employee, right? He was very worried because they kept sending, you know, letters, you know, telling him
trying to intimidate
and all
him.
Of that. Mm-hmm. And it turned out, you know, they had a client, you know, that actually was very interested in his idea because it was amazing to see such a young person actually do that.
Okay.
And so there are even more issues that sort of like erupted from that. Mm. Yes, we've experienced it.
It looks like
watch out when it happens.
It looks like a whole lot, you know, going on there, because there are a lot of persons who, over the time we've been talking about this on the show, people have shared messages and say, oh, I actually have an idea, and then I see that idea outside and I just let the idea go. I know that more would come. People, a lot of persons have that mentality, mm-hmm. but you know, you fight for what is yours. And Nigerians don't really have this mindset to fight, you know, to actually say, oh, this actually belongs to me.
They leave it to God.
So how do... Is it encouraging? You know, would you encourage people to actually come up when someone else has actually gone ahead to execute an idea that you probably shared with them, to actually go ahead and say, oh, you know what? This is actually mine. And what are the certain things, evidences
exactly,
that they can keep?
Because again, what proof do you have to show that you did share the idea with someone else and then that person went on to execute it without carrying you along?
I mean, some people definitely have proof. There are conversations, you know, email threads, etc. But like I said, if you don't protect it, like, don't try to lay claim over it. And I'm also like, I also say to people like, okay, yes, yeah, someone has gone on to, you know, build on this idea. What stops you from doing the same thing? And that's why we have competitors. And your competitors actually make you, force you to become better. And they give people an array of options to choose from.
Right. So, Lagos, you can be a part of this conversation. 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, 01277-3993. We are speaking with Karen Chukwu. She's a tech lawyer and the founder of Catwig and Dale. And we're talking about patenting, you know, protecting your intellectual property, especially as a tech founder or a soon-to-be founder. So you can be a part of the conversation. Call us at 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 99.3. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's still morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Right, welcome.
Yeah, the thing is, I do creative work. My name is Chris.
Okay.
I dramatize poems in form of movies. But there's this my sponsor the other time that happy point, he just stopped that he's not interested again. And I don't have the money to follow up the issue. Though we signed an agreement to it. But I don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Chris. So if I understand you correctly, you've gotten into a business agreement with someone and the person has probably, you know, pulled out of the agreement or the business deal, but they're going ahead to use your work. Is that it?
Is it still there? Do we still have Chris?
Chris, you can call back to answer that question if you can. 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, or 01277-3993. You can also call us on 01465-7190. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Yvonne and Emmanuel.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to your lovely guest.
Good morning.
My name is Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard her saying something about this WIPO. Because I want to catch it better. I understand what she meant by that. Do you mean that it's WIPO, it covers your, it protects you with your content or whatever?
International, it protects you with your what?
She made mention of WIPO.
Yes.
Okay. What does that mean and what does it cover?
Okay, so WIPO.
Because like now, if you have, like, one, have an idea, and in case if you want to get it, both. Internationally, is that the meaning of the YPO?
Okay, so let Karen respond to your question.
Our relationship
with you. All right, Karen.
Okay, so WIPO is the World Intellectual Property Organization, right? And they're setting member states or country. When I say member states, these are countries that have, you know, signed that treaty, agreed to it, you know, which says that when you register in one country, it applies in the other countries, right? So it's like doing like a broad coverage. Mm. Now, that is just peculiar to WIPO. However, you can protect your idea here in Nigeria, and as your business grows, and for those of you that probably want to expand into other countries, you can definitely, you know, like do your research, you know, reach out to a lawyer who then actually carries out a search, and they can assist you in registering, you know, across the countries that you are going to be present in, if these countries are WIPO member states. Now, if they're not WIPO member states, then you would need to, you know, register your IP rights in each country that you'd be expanding to. But I always say to people, do not run faster than your shadow. It is a very expensive process. So please start where your business, you know, is domiciled in. If it's here in Nigeria, good, start with that. If it's in Ghana, start with that. If it's in Rwanda, start your registration in that country, and as you grow, you can expand as well. I hope you understand what I've just tried to explain.
I certainly understood it.
I perfectly understand. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. From what I can see here, WIPO have 193 member states. So 193 countries, you know, under WIPO membership.
So there is, yeah. And another thing about, you know, being a member state, right? When certain treaties are passed, you have to domesticate it. Mm. So some countries are member states and might not domesticate it, right?
Oh, wow.
So these are the kind of things that happen. So
01277 0993 01277 1993 01277 2993 or 01277 3993. You can also call on 01465 7190 to be a part of the conversation. You can leave us a message on WhatsApp 08095975805. Emmanuel, do we have messages?
Yes, we have a message in from Stephen from Akute. Stephen is saying that he has the ability to write down ideas, and how can he get a copyright for when he's determined to start putting them out starting from next year? So he's determined to start putting out this or executing these ideas from next year, but he wants to know when he's going to start the process, you know, for the copyright.
Again, it depends on the kind of idea. So copyrights are for artistic works. So if Steven is a writer, or I don't know, right, then the amazing thing about copyright is if you're actually able to prove that you had been the first one to put that out there, right, you actually take precedence. But there is actually a commission in Abuja, the copyrights, there is a copyright commission in Abuja. You can definitely either approach them, or you can approach a lawyer to assist you with it. And this is if you know this is artistic and like literary works. Mm-hmm. Now, if your idea is, you know, leaning towards, you know, trade, right? Let me just use that just so you remember. If it's leaning towards, you know, business trade, definitely you're looking to, you know, trademarking that idea. If it's something that is new, you are looking to patent it. If it's a novel invention, a novel idea, you are looking to patent the steps that you have taken to arrive at that the idea or like the end goal. I would just like to try to answer the question of the first guy from the first guy rather that said he had. So if I get you correctly, you had actually started doing something with someone. The person has probably taken your idea and is probably running with it. If you have an agreement with this person, right, I would definitely love to, you know, have a look at the terms, the clauses within the agreement, to provide you with, you know, proper tailored advice. Another thing you can do, I always say to people, you know, have a conversation, you know level one-on-one, and if that's not working, definitely let me have a look at the agreement that you have with this person. And again, did you, you know, protect whatever it is that you were working on with this person? Because I mean, if you didn't protect it, then how are you going to lay claim to it? I mean, this is where we then start to, you know, talk about confidential information. Hopefully it's one of the clauses in your agreement with this person, but yeah, definitely reach out to me and I will be happy to look at that agreement.
Okay, so there's this then. I just remembered now that there was a time I had an idea that I shared with somebody. So it wasn't a business idea, so to speak. It was more like a strategy to improve a business. He was running a business, and then the whole thing was going like really down, and he wanted to improve it. So I came up with a strategy. This is what you do, this is what you do. And I put it down in black and white, you know, and I gave him a document, and we sat over it, and he went through the documents, and then we had issues when it came down to, you know, the finance part of it, how much he was going to actually lay down. You know, I was trying to cut down to his budget, and then we were having a whole lot of things. After that, he just zoned out.
You provided the consultant services for this pressing?
Yeah. So to speak, a consulting service. But at that point in time, I didn't call it a consulting service. You know, I was new to the game. So I actually was, you know how we volunteer stuff. So I was going to gain when the company was, you know, up. That was the plan. And then the next thing he did was that he went on to execute this. And then I just watched from afar 4 months later how the business was growing and how he was doing so many things. And I just looked at my friend and say, yeah, was the document I sent to him. This was what I outlined here, and this is what he did.
Thank you for pointing this out, because I see it happen a lot in the creative space where...
Right.
You find employers that want to hire people, and then they have interviews and tell them, oh, do this test and all of that. And it turns out that what they've given them to work on is actually a project that they are running in-house. Mm. And so they're trying to source for answers to the project by giving it to young people to answer, and then they make use of it. So if you're a designer, they probably make use of your designs.
Yes.
If you're a product guy, they probably make use of your idea on how to, you know, build that product or like make it look, etc. So, I mean, in situations like this, right? It can be a bit dicey.
Yes.
Especially when there was no agreement beforehand. And I always say to people, forgive me, employers, for saying this, but like, I mean, if you actually give someone, you know, work to do, ensure that it's not work that you are going to provide to a client, or it's not work that you're trying to get the answer for. Like, let it be like a dummy work or something, right? If you see that someone has used your work and they have profited from it, approach that person and have that conversation. Definitely, because that's your work. Even if you haven't gone to taking all the steps, you that's your work. That work, you actually own the copyright, because you actually provided, you produced the first version of that work, and then the person has actually gone to, you know, probably modify it or something and use it for their own benefit. Hello, well, less benefit for me till the
end.
So,
but what if the person in question, the employer in question, you know, isn't ready to play ball? What do you do in that case?
Play ball is even simple. Why buy a lawyer? Because that's the first
thing. Yeah, because that's why I say to people.
And then there's this, you know, you don't even have that mind, so to speak.
Have
and then,
mind.
Then you don't even have the financial.
I'm telling you now.
Capability
to
lawyer.
Hold me to my word. Have the mind, yes, because that's how young people, their ideas are stripped of them. They're used to do certain things, and they don't get the accolades. And sometimes what you just want is that acknowledgement, that this came from so-so. And so you might not want the money, probably not there for the financial gain, but when you get that accolade, it actually propels you in your career.
Yes,
or it makes
does.
You feel good. Mm-hmm. And so have that mind, yes. Have it. So if you don't have a lawyer, speak to a friend that's in law school. I mean, there are firms out there that are willing to actually carry out pro bono work. At Catrick and Dale, we definitely do that. So have the mind. At least take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, approach someone. Let them be the ones to say, oh, no, we can't help you with this. But at least you know that you actually tried. Because that's bullying.
Yes.
Because you know you have the resources, you're trying to bully a young person. I'm sorry, we don't stand for that over here. I'm sorry. Oh wow, I'm worried.
I'm upset.
You didn't see that one coming.
I'm really upset because it happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
Oh, okay. So I have a message here from Ola, and he says, so it means I cannot patent a mere idea from the head or just an idea stage.
We don't understand that question.
I'm sure she...
I want to correct this thing. Like, it's not patent. It's you cannot protect your intellectual property.
Mm.
Right? Because, again, patent is one of the types
means
of intellectual
it's different,
property.
Yes,
exactly.
From other...
So, again... Please, like I said, when you have an idea, do you want to start building on it? You can't just be writing ideas and then is that thing like that people do with domain names where they go to buy a domain name once someone searches for it so that they can ask for money when they actually want to buy it? No, you can't do that. Do you want to build on this idea? If yes, then you can actually take steps to start to protect, you know, your work and take it up from there.
We have a lot more questions, but I'll just take. I'm not really sure what you're trying to say, Sankey. Sankey Victor, I really don't know what you're trying to say. Are you pitching an idea to Russell? We say it on air and somebody carries it. Then
you come back and sue us and say, it was on this platform that you said that thing.
Like, he's actually pitching an idea here. I did not see that too, so that you not mention me later. But Karen, let's talk about the ease of executing ideas. You know, you've talked about the legal whole framework of it, you know, but what is the ease? You're doing something outside the country, you know, several other countries, you trying to expand your company outside the country, so to speak. What's the ease like? Those there and here, you know, the legal framework, policies,
Before Karen answers that question, let's take this call. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear us?
Oh, sorry about that. You can call us on 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, or 01277-3993. Karen, please.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, you're trying to find out how easy it is to, will I say, build in different countries?
In different countries. What's the home for now?
Okay, so I feel like every country or every African country, well, for the ones I've visited, right? Because now Katwig and Dale is present in Ghana and Rwanda. And for the countries that we've expanded into, what I've noticed is these countries have their own issues as well, right? Problems will always be there. People like problems. there are some difficulties, definitely, right? I mean, where some people complain about the VAT here, you should hear the VAT in Rwanda. The percentage is high. And in some other, you know, East African countries as well. But in terms of, you know, executing or building, this is literally where you need to have, first of all, like, you know, like a good thought out process and have a good team. Now, I'll give an example. For a founder that's probably trying to expand, right? You need your team to be all hands on deck, because it can be a very stressful process. But you cannot do it alone, you know, without, you know, obviously approaching a lawyer or a law firm to assist you with that. Now, speaking from my own personal experience, right? And I'm the lawyer. But like, I mean, there's some things that you come across and you know, you're like, oh, wow. So this is obtainable here and it's not obtainable here. And sometimes you have to go back to the drawing board. I remember the time, I mean, my partners have had back-to-back calls. We've had some disagreements. We've asked ourselves, okay, is this needed? Is this expansion needed? Because what you think, okay, let's even talk about regulations that apply. The regulations here in Nigeria are definitely going to be very different from what's in a different country, really, like Ghana, right? And then you need to talk about being able to you know, have access to some of the players within the, you know, these regulatory bodies, right? There is that. You need to understand the market. How you're going to serve Nigerians is definitely different from how you're going to serve Rwandans. Very different. Because when you give Nigerian money, they have to count it. I realized that people weren't counting my money in Rwanda.
Really?
They trusted that I was giving them the amount I said I was giving them.
My goodness.
And so in a place like that, you probably don't have to do a whole lot of work. You just have to be credible.
Right.
In Nigeria,
that's all you need. Yes.
You need to be credible. In Nigeria, in fact, if you're credible, is a problem.
Exactly.
So these are things that you need to consider. The market you're trying to serve, you know, regulations that apply to your, you know, industry. I mean, if you're trying to expand, you need to have a certain quota of the indigenous people there, the nationals of that country, right? You need to have a certain number working for you. I mean, I know of you know, a friend that was trying to get a permit in a particular country, and oh my goodness, it was a big problem. Despite having met, you know, their requirements, it was still a problem. And so there are some of these things that happen. The same way other foreigners come to Nigeria and say, oh, doing business in Nigeria is stressful, it's hard. But the truth is, you know, like the Nigerians, probably, obviously Nigerians agree to that, well, a lot of Nigerians. But for people who have studied the market and understand, you know, what to do, who to talk to, how to go about certain things, how to approach certain people, they wouldn't say the same thing. So it's the same for other countries as well. You, the foreigner going in there, yes, there are some things that are clearly stated and you're following these things, but it's beyond that. And so, like, the ease of doing business varies from country to country, and from not just country, but like the parts of the continent as well.
Right.
There's obviously the language barrier. there's the culture shock that you would experience when you actually go there. Be ready for that. But you must always, always have the right compliance team, the right legal team to actually assist you in having certain conversations, those negotiations, those registrations as well that you need to make. And well, learn.
Because the reason why I ask that question is because I've had a lot of tech bros come to me. We've had conversations, and they're like, you know what? I'm not launching in Nigeria. You know, I just want to do this from outside Nigeria.
Okay. Hold on to that thought, guys. Let's take a few calls. Hello.
Hello, Yvonne. I'm Emmanuel. This is Alex calling back.
Oh, Alex, welcome back.
Yeah. Like now, like somebody who is into software or maybe an application, just like I'm using an example like Facebook, and you do something like that here locally, and you patent it locally, and luckily for you, you see that it's being used, maybe expanding to other countries, and you're trying, you protected it down here, but you see something similar like that in other countries. What do that person have to do about it?
Okay.
I think at some point during this show, I had mentioned that when you actually register when you try to protect your IP, it just covers that region
right?
Right. And so, if you definitely want to expand, or you have a couple of countries that you're interested in, trying out their waters, you would definitely have to go there and repeat the same process as well.
No. What I'm saying is that. Like you've done it locally here, but you now see that it is being used in other countries whereby you never had that intention.
It's being used in other countries. Well, the way some people say it is we're big now. So right. What I would say to you is go wherever you see that wherever jurisdiction or country that you see that you have a lot of users on that product, go there and try to protect your rights in that country. Because expansion has happened even without you even authorizing it.
Right.
Alright, thank you. Please leave your social media where we can reach you in case.
Yeah, she will. Nigerians.
I have a message here. Say, please, Mano, kindly hammer more on the I want to launch outside Nigeria syndrome. It's really a big thing. You know, I've had that conversation. I listen to them. I have some of them. The only thing that is making some of them, launch in Nigeria is actually because of our population. And that they see big firms, Amazon and all the rest, coming into Nigeria. And so it keeps them wondering, like, why are these people coming to Nigeria? There's something, if these guys are coming into Nigeria, then there's something big here. But most of the people that I've met, or some of them rather, they all want to launch outside Nigeria. They want to go to Ghana. They want to go to Kenya. They want to go to Rwanda, South Africa. These are the spots that they are looking at, going to launch their products and then just come into Nigeria like foreigner, so to speak. So they enjoy some what they call
some privileges.
But these are Nigerians.
Are you sure they are not afraid of village people in Nigeria? It's just a question, but let's take this call. Oh, I'm sorry, please call us back if you can.
I mean, it's fine to launch elsewhere. It's definitely fine to launch elsewhere. I mean, I would typically say it's good to study the market that you're used
to. Yes, you did say that.
Mm-hmm. It's very good because then you're able to make certain mistakes here and all of that, right? And learn from those, build on those mistakes, and then you can expand. But if you want to launch somewhere else, by all means, Katri Gandewa in Ghana and Rwanda are very similar on entire SA. So I will help you.
Let's take a few more calls. Before we round off this conversation. Hello. 99.3.
Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Matthias calling from Ikorodu.
Matthias, thank you for calling. What's your question?
Yeah, it's not a regular question, but I want to contribute.
Okay.
Yeah, for people that want to launch out of Nigeria, most of the time you cannot blame them, but most of the time they need to sit down and think properly what they want to do. Because if other people coming from other country to come and launch a business in this country, definitely there's a potential, definitely there's a market value, definitely there's a venue for them to expand their business. You see people coming from China, from India, from Lebanese to come and establish a company in this country. So they have seen something that we that are here, we didn't see. I work with a lot of expatriates, and when you have a communication with them, they will tell you that this country is a good country that anybody can invest. So it's better that whatever you want to do, have your plan from beginning and have a proper how you want to go about it. If you can have it good in this country, then you can now make your research how you're going to help your business in another country or other region.
Thank you so much for calling Lagos. That's the last call we are taking. Karen,
so I would like to add something about people wanting to set up in a different country.
Okay,
I think that another way that we can look at this is actually trying to understand their product. Now, if you've built a product that serves maybe the East African market, then by all means, you'd have to register there.
Right.
Because different products serve different jurisdictions differently.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're probably trying to solve a peculiar problem in Rwanda, where else do you register if not Rwanda?
Of course, mm-hmm. it has to be in Rwanda.
So there definitely has to be a reason. But if you're registering outside Nigeria because you're worried about setting regulations and you're worried about the ease of doing business, I would definitely say please get a good management team to speak with, or a consulting team rather, and then definitely speak to your legal team as well. They're better equipped to advise you as to how to go about it.
Thank you so much, Karen. But we have to switch to Tech of the Week. But before we do, I'm sure they want to know how they can contact you somehow. So share a contact information that you are comfortable with.
Usually your social media.
LinkedIn works.
Okay.
I don't want them to catch me on my social media.
Because you're a totally different person there.
That's right.
Ah, girl. I know that.
So, LinkedIn
LinkedIn Karen Chukwu.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Karen Turban, red lips, that's always me.
Thank you so much, Karen. Lagos, let's bring you Tech of the Week right now.